from Television City in Hollywood.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made. Those were the days.
All in the Family.
And you knew where you were then.
Girls were girls and men were men. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again.
Starring Carol O'Connor, Gene Stapleton, co-starring Rob Reiner, Sally Struthers. Produced by John Rich.
G-R-O-S, now red, great. Those were the days.
Developed by Norman Lear. Archie chomps a cigar and smiles with Edith.
Hey, how about Paper Moon?
No.
Then what about the American Graffiti?
Nah.
Gloria, you turned down over 50 movies. If you don't want to go, just say so. I'll understand.
I don't want to go.
I don't understand you, Gloria. I feel like doing something tonight.
Oh, okay. Then let me show you a new dance I learned. Oh, you're going to love it. It's called the elevator dance.
She hugs Michael.
The elevator dance?
Yeah, no steps.
She squeezes him tight.
Gloria, take it easy, will you?
What's the matter?
You're hugging me so tight.
That's because I like being close to you.
Close to me? You're among me.
Gloria, do you think this is too dressy for Amelia's party?
Ma, you've had that dress for 4 years, and every time you put it on, you ask me that same question.
Well, I paid $28.50 for it, and I don't want them to think I'm showing off.
It's fine, Ma. Oh, is Amelia cooking another one of her fancy dinners tonight for you and Daddy?
Oh, yeah, it's gonna be a 7-course round-the-world gourmet dinner. Where's Archie?
In the kitchen making himself a sandwich.
Oh, no. Archie! Archie! Oh, don't eat that!
I'm eating it.
Archie, please, if you don't hurry, we'll be late.
Oh, no, we're going to see your relatives. We go to see your relatives no matter what time we get there. It'll be too soon.
Come on. We got a long ride on the subway to the beach.
Oh, don't tell me. Why would dumbbells like that live at the beach in the wintertime?
Maybe it's because Russ is a plumber and he likes to hear the sound of water running.
Archie stops chewing, then studies Edith.
Well, when you see Russ, be sure and shake your head, huh? So he can hear the water on your brain.
No, really, we can't. But thanks for asking. Oh, have a good time. Yeah, bye, David.
What was all that about?
Oh, that was just David inviting us to a party he's having tonight.
You turned him down? Why didn't you ask me?
Wait, you want to go?
Well, Gloria, I said I felt like doing something tonight.
Oh, honey, I'm sorry. It's just, well, the folks are going to be out tonight, and I sort of took it for granted you want to stay home with me.
Yeah, well, lately you've been taking a lot of things for granted.
Oh, Michael, don't be like that.
She cuddles him.
All right. Oh, look at this. He got her on his lap already. He'll be turning our home into a massage parlor.
Archie, is that all you think we do when you're out of the house?
Oh, no. I think you do it sometimes when I'm in the house.
Archie, we better go.
All right, I'm coming.
Archie, for your information, what Gloria and I do behind closed doors is none of your business. There's no reason for you to snigger.
What was that I heard from you, you big pink liberal? Don't you know that the delicate word for that is snigro?
Smirking, Archie leaves with Edith. Gloria shuts the door.
Whoop-dee-doo, they're gone. I was showing you the elevator dance. Elevator going up!
She leaps onto Michael.
Gloria, take it easy. My back. Ow.
Michael, you used to love it when I did this.
I still do. It's just I wasn't set for it.
I know what it is. It's David's party. You're mad that I turned it down without asking it first. Is that it?
Well, our marriage is an equal partnership, 50-50, right?
I'll call David back.
No. It's all right. You don't have to. I made my point. You understand that you were wrong, and I understand that you were wrong. See, that's the beauty of our relationship. We both have an open mind. Now, what'll it be tonight? Watch a little television, huh?
No, honey, we don't need television. Let's talk.
All right, talk. What do you want to talk about?
You said I have an open mind. Is that what first attracted you to me, my mind?
No, as a matter of fact, it was your pockets.
What?
The first time I saw you, you were wearing those tight jeans with the cute little pink pockets in the back. Those were the best walking away pants I ever saw. I fell in love with the way those cute little pink pockets walked away.
Yeah?
Then when you turned around, I fell in love with the rest of you.
Oh, Michael.
Then when you started to speak, you almost ruined the whole thing. Kidding! Gloria, I knew the first time I saw you that underneath that little orphan Annie hairdo you used to wear, they lurked the mind.
And I knew that underneath all that hair and a mustache and that beard you used to wear, there lurked a face.
Squeezing his jaw.
Which I'm taking with me.
She pulls him up.
Upstairs!
We were having such a nice conversation. Why do you want to end it?
Who's ending it? We'll talk on the way upstairs.
I forgot what I was talking about. You broke my concentration. I lost my whole trend of thought. You want to play checkers?
Break your trend of thought?
No. See, I play much better when I think. I think and I play better. You just sit over there. I'll go get the checkers.
I don't want to play checkers.
All right, forget the checkers. You don't want to play checkers? You're the one who wants to stay home. What do you want to do?
Gloria wiggles her eyebrows, grinning.
Quit kidding around, Gloria.
Who's kidding?
She leers at him again.
We'll watch television.
Fun.
As Michael sits, Gloria sways her hips.
Another bride, another June, another sunny honeymoon, another season.
She thrusts into the chair, jolting Michael.
For making whoopee, a lot of shoes, a lot of
she
rain.
Rubs under his shirt.
The groom is nervous. He answers twice.
She bumps her hip twice against the chair, then slides onto his lap. As she kisses him, Michael freezes.
Now, you want to go upstairs?
No.
Michael, what's the matter?
Nothing the matter. I just don't feel like going upstairs, that's all.
You haven't felt like going upstairs for the last 4 weeks. I don't understand. There's something wrong.
Boy, there's nothing wrong. I've had a lot of important things on my mind.
Like what?
Well, for instance, the energy crisis.
Oh, and I get it. It's not that you're being indifferent to me. You're just being patriotic.
What are you talking about?
You're conserving energy. Really strange tonight. I used to run and jump and throw my legs around you, and you loved it. Tonight it was look out for my back.
You always just wait for me. You never jumped until I said ready, set, go.
That's what was missing. Ready, set, go. I can't jump until you speak. What are you, my trainer?
No, I'm your husband, and you're my wife. And to be perfectly honest with you, Gloria, lately you've been coming on a little bit too strong.
Oh, so now it's all coming out. Well, go ahead, Michael. Get it all off your chest.
All right, fine. You asked for it. You're going to get it. For the last, I don't know how long. You say it's 4 weeks? All right, 4 weeks. I think it's longer. But we are hardly in bed with the lights off, and there you are.
What is wrong with that?
Did you ever stop to think that maybe I'm not in the mood?
To know whether or not you're in the mood.
You'll know when I make the advances. That's how you'll know.
I don't believe that's you talking.
Well, you better believe it, Gloria, because lately I don't know who the man is around here anymore.
What?
And I'm going to tell you something else. For the last 4 weeks, and I think it's longer, some of those times, I didn't really have a headache.
Then why didn't you just tell me the truth instead of making up such a cheap excuse?
Because I didn't want to hurt your feelings.
What do you think you're doing right now? Michael, honey, don't you understand? If two people really love each other, what's the difference? Who makes the first move?
Big difference! The man doesn't like to be chased. It's more natural for him to be the pursuer.
Hold everything. Didn't you just say we had an equal partnership, 50-50?
Yeah, everything is 50-50. But I'm the 50 that should be heard from first.
That is mythical male superiority garbage.
Hey, hey, Gloria!
No, no. If we are equal, we are equal partners everywhere, and that includes the bedroom.
Don't you see that goes against nature? I mean, take the animal kingdom. The male is always in charge.
Oh, yeah? Did you ever hear of a king bee? The female who runs the hive.
That is strictly for breeding purposes.
Okay, then what about the black widow spider? She does all the chasing. She decides on the mating.
Yeah, and when she's finished with her husband, she kills him. You see what happens when a woman takes charge? Gloria, that is the whole point of our civilization. Look how far we've come from the spiders.
I don't believe it. We've got the whole house to ourselves, and we're talking about spiders.
Gloria, look, all I'm trying to say is that a man's sex drives are different.
Oh, don't tell me about your drives, Michael. Mine are just as strong as yours. And if it gives me pleasure once in a while to be the pursuer, the least you can do is deliver.
Wait just a second!
I have not finished. Now, you call yourself progressive, but when it comes to women, you're still working on the old double standard. If a man comes on strong, he's a great lover, a Casanova. But if it's a woman, she's an infomaniac.
Gloria, good marriage is based on give and take. Take tonight, for example. You didn't want to go to the movies? I didn't force you to go to the movies. Now, I should get that same consideration. If I have certain preferences...
Hang-ups.
If I have certain preferences...
Hang-ups.
Preferences?
Hang-ups.
Preferences?
Hang-ups.
Preferences.
Hang-ups.
That's it! I can't talk to you anymore! I can't talk to you because you're hysterical! You're a wild woman! I'll give you a chance to calm down and cool off! I'm going for a walk!
That's all right, Michael! Don't bother! I'll go out for the walk!
No, you're not going anywhere! I said I was going, I'm going!
Don't you tell me what to do if I want to go for a walk, I'll go for a walk!
You're not going anywhere, Gloria! It was my idea, I'm going first!
Oh! Michael!
She clasps her head.
Michael! Yeah!
Gloria runs out the door first. Michael stares after her. He races out. Later that night.
Gloria?
Michael comes home and turns on the light.
Gloria, I want to talk to you. Is anybody home?
Michael strides into the kitchen.
Gloria?
He turns on the light. Then trudges in. Opening the bread box, he pulls out two slices. Grabbing a plate from the drying rack, he sets it on the kitchen table and adds the bread slices. He peers into the fridge and retrieves several packages and an egg in a bowl, setting them on the table. Michael opens the first package of processed meat. He pulls off a clump of slices and sets them on the bread, leaving one slice in the package. Opening the next package, he folds over a wad of processed cheese and adds it to his sandwich. He opens a package of ham, peels off a slice, and adds it to the sandwich. He hesitates, then adds another slice. And then the whole pack. Adding the top bread slice, he lifts the thick sandwich.
Gloria?
Michael starts to the door, then reconsiders and saunters back to the table, taking a big bite of his sandwich. From the fridge, he retrieves a mustard jar, then grabs a knife. Gloria enters. They gaze coldly at each other. Then she opens the fridge and takes out a milk bottle. As Michael slathers mustard on his bread, he watches her fill a glass.
Excuse me?
Avoiding him, Gloria steps aside so Michael can open the fridge. Passing the table, she pauses, then picks up the boiled egg, cracks it on the rim of the bowl, and starts peeling it. Sauntering over, Michael sets down a pickle jar and stares at her, hands on his hips. Gloria looks up. He glances to the egg, then back to her. Gloria vigorously taps the egg again and resumes peeling. Throwing up his hand, Michael turns back to the fridge and gets another egg. Returning to the table beside Gloria, he cracks his egg on the pickle jar. Raw egg spills over the jar. Gloria hides her laughter as Michael flings the rest of the broken egg from his fingers. Shaking her head, Gloria heads out with her milk and egg. Michael quickly follows with his sandwich. She sits at the dining table. Michael sits right beside her. With a sigh, she gets up and goes to the living room. Michael pursues. She swings to face him.
Oh, did you want to talk to me?
No. Did you want to talk to me?
No, I thought you wanted to talk to me.
Where'd you get that idea?
You don't want to talk?
No.
All right. Talk is over.
They both sit.
Boy, where the hell you been?
Out.
I know out. Where out?
Just out.
It is after midnight. You've been gone for over 5 hours. That's not just out. That's way out. Now, I want to know where you've been.
It's personal. It's private. And I don't want to talk about it.
She drinks her milk.
All right. Fine. You don't want to talk about it? It's fine with me. I'm going to show you that I'm a bigger person than you, Gloria. I'm going to tell you where I've been. I'm going to tell you everything that happened to me tonight. I'm going to open up completely to you.
Okay, but let me get another glass of milk first.
She strides off.
I just told you I was going to open up completely to you, and all you can think about is another glass of milk?
I can listen and drink at the same time. Go ahead.
No. You finish what you're doing first. I want your complete attention.
You've got my attention.
Thank you.
Michael turns away.
I want to tell you that I had a very unusual experience tonight, Gloria. Very unusual.
She walks out.
I went to David's party. Yeah, and you probably...
Turning around, he sees the swinging door and stomps back out.
I was just talking to you in there.
I heard everything you said. You had a very unusual experience tonight. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I went to David's party tonight. I was feeling very depressed about you walking out on me. I mean, there were a lot of people there, all having a good time. I sat all by myself in a corner, just staring off into space. And then suddenly, I heard this soft voice saying, "Would you care for a drink?" And I looked up, and there standing in front of me was a beautiful girl. I don't mean cutie pie beautiful. I mean beautiful. She had black hair, was parted right down the middle and pulled straight back. She looked just like a ballerina. With a name to go with it. Felicia. How's that for a name, huh? Felicia.
It's a beautiful name.
You betcha. Beautiful. Felicia. Yeah. Well, naturally, I did the polite thing. I asked her to sit down. You know what she did?
She sat down.
That's exactly what she did. But do you know how she sat down? Right on the floor at my feet.
Dogs do that a lot, too.
All right, Gloria, you make fun if you want, but I am telling you that it was beautiful. I don't know how to explain it, but there was instant communication between us.
Oh, I can explain it. You talked and she listened.
I knew this was going to be rough on you. I'm going to have to tell you, though, there's more to this story. I took her home. Just let me finish the story, please. Don't interrupt. Took her to her place. Stood out there on the sidewalk. It was a beautiful moment, Gloria. Just the two of us looking into each other's eyes. And she waited without asking. You hear me? You hear me? Without asking, she waited for me to make the decision. So I took her in my arms, and I kissed her. And I want to tell you something, Gloria.
No, I want to tell you something.
You just let me finish. Yeah, I want to tell you that for the first time in 4 weeks, and I think it's longer, I enjoy a true man-woman relationship.
Well, I am glad, because it makes it a lot easier for me to tell you that I met someone tonight, too.
Huh?
Someone I was very attracted to.
Huh?
When I left the house tonight, I walked for a long time, and I got really cold, so I stopped for a cup of coffee. I was very angry and upset, and I wasn't paying attention to what I was doing. I spilled my coffee all over my lap.
Yeah, well, forget the coffee. What about the man?
Well, He was sitting right next to me at the counter, and when I spilled my coffee, he took out his handkerchief and dipped in a glass of water and started to clean the stain off my lap.
Off your lap?
Yeah. Then he brought me another cup of coffee, and we sat in a booth, and we talked.
You moved to a booth?
Yeah.
With a complete stranger, you moved to a booth?
That's just it, Michael. It wasn't like he was a stranger. He was such a good listener. He had an instinctive understanding of women. He was very intelligent. You know what he said about us?
What?
Well, he said that most men are rather vain about their masculinity and that my husband might be feeling threatened.
Forget that. I don't care what he said.
I think it's important that I tell you everything that happened.
There's more?
Yes. When we left the coffee shop, he insisted on walking me to the bus stop. We stood on the corner saying goodbye.
And he made a pass at you?
No, it wasn't like that at all. No, it was one of the most beautiful moments I've ever experienced. He stood there waiting. A real man, secure in his own masculinity, aware of what my needs might be, and perfectly willing to let me make the first move. And you know what I did?
You made the first move.
You bet I did.
You made the first move!
Yes, I threw my arms around him and I kissed him!
You kissed a perfect stranger on a street corner?
No, right on the lips. Listen to your story.
Yeah, but that's just it, Gloria. That's just what mine was, a story. It didn't really happen. I didn't go to David's party night. You want to know the truth? You want to know where I really went? You want to know what really happened while you were standing on a street corner throwing yourself at some strange man's lips? I was sitting all alone in a lousy, crummy neighborhood movie theater watching a rotten double feature.
You might have enjoyed it if you'd stayed in your seat 5 trips to the candy counter.
How many trips I made to the candy counter?
Because I was in that crummy theater, sitting 4 rows behind you, Munchmouth.
The whole story about the man with the coffee stain, the kiss on the lip, you made that up?
That's right, Michael. Just like you made up your story about your girlfriend, Felicia.
It's a beautiful name.
Michael, I made up that story to show you that if I'm attracted to you, what's wrong with me letting you know that?
She takes his hand, resting her arm on the sandwich.
If two people really love each other, it doesn't matter who starts things as long as they get started and as long as we end up together. Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah.
Good.
Gloria lifts her arm.
Oh, Michael, mustard.
Michael kisses the smear on her arm, then strokes it absently.
It's delicious. Gloria, you still want to play Ready, Set, Go? I'm willing.
Whoop-dee-doo.
Quickly, they stand.
Ready, set,
hold it, hold it,
what?
Michael. 50-50.
You're right. You go first.
Ready.
Set.
Go!
Gloria leaps into Michael's arms, wrapping her legs around him, just as Archie and Edith return home. Archie glares while Edith tries to get their attention, glancing nervously at Archie. He turns to her.
What did I tell you, huh? They've been at it since we left.
Michael releases Gloria reluctantly. Archie and Edith read in the living room.
Ready,
set, go!
Edith lowers her magazine, glancing up at the ceiling. Archie removes his reading glasses and peers incredulously at Edith. He scowls.
I hear that? They're calling signals now.
directed by John Rich, written by Michael Morris and Bernie West, script consultant Don Nickel, story editors Michael Ross and Bernie West, executive producer Norman Lear.
The Family was recorded on tape before a live audience.
Associate producer Gene Marcione. Those Were the Days by Lee Adams and Charles Strauss. Based on Till Death Do Us Part, created by Johnny Spite. Copyright 1973, Tandem Productions Incorporated, CBS. A Bud York and Norman Lear Tandem Production.
Viacom.